This video is sponsored by Normandy 1998, Christopher Mitchell, 212th Trooper, and Zenvik. Hey everyone, this week I decided to do things a little differently by trying my hand at a what-if lightning round. This is inspired by Masco X's lightning round, which I'll be linking in the comments below. Though for those not familiar with the concept, I'll be looking at several popular what-if topics that I probably wouldn't do as a full series, but which I'll give a quick overview of, such as a rundown of the plot, potential captures or companions, and where applicable, multiple ways it could be handled. Additionally, many of these ideas are ones you have all pitched me over the years, so be sure to stay tuned to find out if your concept has made it onto the lightning round. But with that out of the way, let's get into our first scenario. What if Ash was like Paul? This is one I see a lot, and one I think could have the potential to actually be a full story, albeit with a fairly large tweak to the concept. However, I'll discuss that later. For the premises writ, an Ash who is more like Paul first and foremost would wake up on time, being more serious and prepared for his journey, even likely arriving first. Here he would choose Bulbasaur, since on top of being an obvious parallel to Paul's Torterra, it is also statistically the starter who will allow him to perform the best in the gym challenge, while also giving him a type advantage against his rival Gary's preferred choice of Squirtle. Speaking of Gary, his and Ash's rivalry would be markedly different, as this Ash would find his bombastic, self-aggrandizing personality grating, and would likely seek to show his superior intellect and battling prowess whenever they cross paths, going so far as to wait for Gary to arrive at the lab, only to challenge him like in the games. Another of Paul's traits that Ash would adopt is his desire for exceptionalism in his Pokémon. Assuming the Kanto Pokédex is capable of this, Ash would scan his Pokémon for their moves and stats upon catching them, employing a catch-and-release strategy, in which he would catch multiple Pokémon and then only keep the best. As a result, Ash would probably stay on Route 1 longer than in canon to catch himself something useful, with this more than likely being the Spearow who attacked him and Pikachu in canon, as later appearances proved it had the potential to dominate not just its fellow Spearow, but also the local Pidgey, making it right up someone like this Ash's alley. However, just because they are alike does not mean Spearow would be guaranteed a permanent spot on the squad, as Ash would begin training it immediately, while also using it to force Bulbasaur to toughen up in the face of type disadvantage. These training sessions, along with any rival or gym battles, would be how Ash assesses a Pokémon's viability, which in his eyes would be its drive to be the best through unwavering determination and equally unyielding power. Anyone who can embody these ideals would receive attention in the form of personalized training plans and more time on the main team, while those who fail would either be resigned to Oak's lab if Ash believes they still possess some degree of viability, or outright discarded if they did not. Speaking of Oak's lab, unlike Canon Ash, who only collects a small squad who he bonds deeply with, here Ash would catch as many Pokémon as he could, rotating frequently to give him the statistically optimal team for any given situation. However, one area in which he would face scarcity is in his companions, as due to facing Spearow rather than fleeing from it, he would likely not meet Misty, nor would Brock want to travel with him due to his abrasive personality. This would not be an issue to Ash though, as hangers-on would just slow him down and distract him from his own goals. Likewise, he would probably never attract the attention of Team Rocket, due to arriving in Viridian City later than in canon, and even if their paths did cross later, the trio would be met with ruthless contempt and dispatched instantly, making them disinclined to follow after the broody twerp, as they'd call him, as seen by their established dislike of Paul during the Diamond and Pearl arc. In terms of battling in gyms, this Ash would do well for himself due to being more tactical and having actually trained his Pokémon from the get-go, with some of his canon catches like Primeape likely finding their way onto his squad and doing better than they did in the main timeline, due to a more disciplined trainer who would see their potential and push them to achieve it. The only two gyms I could see giving him any real hassle would be Sabrina and Blaine's, as this taciturn, results-driven Ash would not bond with the Lavender Town ghost types, nor would even consider making the psychic specialist laugh. Instead, the most likely way he would deal with Sabrina is either by having a psychic type of his own which would overpower Kadabra, or by forcibly catching the Pokémon Tower Gengar and making use of type advantage to dominate in conventional battle. As for Blaine, the issue is that this Ash most certainly would not have Charizard. In fact, he would not have any of his Canon Kanto starters, as all three of them were abandoned by other trainers, and as a serial abandoner himself, why would he ever waste time on Pokémon someone else already deemed worthless? Ultimately though, this gym would probably be dealt with just like Sabrina's, as by now Ash would surely have a water type of some sort, and if not, he could easily acquire one due to being on an island, with type advantage coming in clutch once again. Following a laughably easy match against the Team Rocket trio back in Viridian, Ash would then make his way to the League, where I'm afraid he would not win. Canonically, we know that Paul entered three leagues, including the Indigo League, before Sinnoh, and that he did not win any of them, so it's safe to assume this first-time trainer Ash wouldn't either. In fact, there are two ways I can see Ash's league run ending, and both of them have to do with Richie. Due to sharing traits with Reggie and Canon Ash, both of whom Paul considered as weak and foolish, this Ash would likely hold the auburn-haired boy in contempt and push himself to beat him on an ideological level, with this being where the potential divergence occurs, as while the most probable outcome is that Ash's superior team steamrolls Richie's only to lose later on against a more experienced foe such as possibly Asunta, there is a chance that because Richie shares Canon Ash's philosophy of love and kindness, he is able to win the day and force the cruel trainer from Pallet to rethink his ways, just like Ash did to Paul in the League, and it is here that I would like to propose the variant of this story that I believe actually has potential, and that is, what if Paul beat Ash in the Sinnoh League? This would be a universe-based story in which Paul's ideology of results over friendship would be deemed correct, forcing Ash to reassess his own beliefs and training methods as he starts all over again. While I do not believe Ash would go full brute, as this is not his nature, and one defeat would not be enough to rob him of his whole belief system, he would start implementing some of Paul's techniques, such as more intense training, and perhaps more selective team building. This could actually prove beneficial to some Pokemon like Oshawott and Scraggy, as they would be forced to focus up and strive towards their full potential, with the duo of Scrafty and Samurott likely being on the cards by the arc's end. This shift in methodology would probably also affect who he travels with, as for all the times Iris maligned Canon Ash for being a little kid, she would not like this version of him at all, so that even if they did travel together, it would be a temporary companionship that ends around Stratton City. Likewise, Silent would detect a distinctly bitter aftertaste to this Ash's usually sweet palate, which would make him an unappealing companion, with his connoisseur insight showing him that something is weighing on the boy and affecting his bonds. In his place, he would likely befriend trainers like Georgia and Trip, with the latter looking up to Ash, while the former spurs on his drive, so he won't slow her down as she chases her own ambition as a dragon buster. Whether this Ash would actually be better off is a matter of debate that I'd love to hear your thoughts on in the comments, though one thing that would be fascinating to see is this Ash's interactions with Cameron, as he is emblematic of who he used to be. Would this Ash view the bandana boy fondly because of this fact? Would he see him as a bitter reminder of his past failings? And perhaps more interestingly still, if they clashed in the league, who would ultimately prove victorious, and how would that shape Ash's ideology moving into Kalos? For our next lightning round question, I thought I'd tackle one that comes up just as frequently, if not more so than the last one. What if Ash started with blank? Due to Pikachu's influence, not just on Ash, but on the Pokemon franchise as a whole, this is an understandable question to ask, as presumably the Pokemon Ash starts with would greatly affect his journey, right? Well, not entirely. There are certainly some instances where it would have a big impact, and I will cover those in a minute, though in many cases, due to Pokemon taking on the traits of their trainers, and Pikachu generally not affecting the macro events of the Pokemon world, very little would actively change if Ash started with something like an Eevee or a Growlithe, which are both popular options, with the notable differences being some alteration to Ash's team roster since he tends not to catch the same type as his starter, and some battles are easier or harder based on whether having an electric starter was a help or a hindrance. In contrast, an example of a starter that could massively impact Ash's journey is Riolu, as not only is it a Pokemon from a foreign region, making it unfamiliar to most trainers, with this likely affecting many interactions, and upon evolving into Lucario a steel type, which was not present in Gen 1, but most importantly, it introduces the concept of aura to the Pokemon world far earlier, while also allowing Ash to begin harnessing his aura abilities. This in turn would open the door for more unique ways of battling, and the exploration of the aura bond, as well as the lore surrounding aura itself. If this premise was used to pivot into a story about Ash becoming an aura guardian, or at least using aura as his central gimmick, he could build an aura team using Pokemon such as Metacham, Cutifly, and Sylveon, all of whom have the ability to at least sense aura, if not outright channel it in Sylveon's case. Alternatively, if the writer wished to only utilize Pokemon who existed in Gen 1 outside of Lucario, Ash's team could lean more into the supernatural, with inclusions of psychic and ghost types, as their powers are at least aura adjacent, due to aura at its core being a creature's life energy. Another common what-if starter who could make a significant impact is Froakie, specifically Ash's canon Froakie from the XY anime, as like aura with Riolu, this would give Ash a gimmick in the form of the bond phenomenon once it evolves into Greninja. I do believe there is at least some merit to the idea of the bond phenomenon being present in Kanto, as can be seen in my What If Red Trained Ash series, though if I were to do it in this context, I would likely have the premise be that when Ash arrives late, Oak is reluctant to entrust him with an overtly hostile Pikachu, and so calls upon his fellow professors to see if any of them have a surplus starter, to which Sycamore would offer Froakie, since it came back to the lab after he already acquired another one. From here, the pair would bond and grow, with Ash's speedy water starter being a perfect rival to Gary's slower and more defensive one. Over time, Froakie would become Frogadier and then Greninja, with the latter likely occurring against Koga, as due to being a ninja, he would recognize the burgeoning Bond phenomenon and be able to share its legend with Ash and Greninja. From there, the final leg of the Kanto journey would revolve around understanding and mastering the Bond phenomenon to create a perfected Ash Greninja, with the potential wrinkle being that Giovanni might want to get his hands on Ash and Greninja to study their transformation, as either a way to exert greater control over Mewtwo, or to replace it with an even more powerful clone who he can directly link with and control the actions of. In fact, assuming that it still happens, Mewtwo Strikes Back in this continuity would likely come down to Ash Greninja vs. Mewtwo as ideological opposites, one believing that humanity and the Pokemon who serve them must be destroyed so a superior race may live freely, while the other believes in the bond of trust between people and Pokemon, having learned to open its heart after having once been closed off and cold like Mewtwo is. By now, you might be wondering why I feel this story doesn't merit a full series after everything that's been said, and while I do think it has plenty of interesting and cool moments to explore, from a writing standpoint it does present some issues, with the biggest being the fact that due to being paired with a novice Ash, Froakie would more than likely reject and abandon him like it rejected all the others, meaning in order for the story to happen at all, there would need to be a degree of hand-waving in which the writer would need to force something for the sake of the plot, which is generally a less than ideal situation. Finally, another frequently posed starter for Ash is a legendary or mythical Pokemon. Truthfully, it doesn't really matter which one, as by virtue of being a creature of legend and lore, it is inherently too powerful for a rookie trainer, and would disregard him entirely. However, assuming authorial interference made it listen to him, which is probably how it would need to be played so there can be a story at all, Ash would immediately become too powerful to face any level of challenge, and thus would become an uninteresting protagonist. In order for a protagonist to be compelling, they must overcome hardship and develop because of it, so that by the time they inevitably triumph, it is meaningful due to the effort they had to put in to reach this point. If a protagonist such as Ash was simply handed incredible power at the start of a story without having to earn it, it would be meaningless, as would all his victories, with them instead becoming a foregone conclusion, which would be terribly boring, as with no chance of losing there are no stakes, and if there are no stakes, there can be no growth or true progression, meaning there is really no reason to tell such a story outside of parodying the tropes of badly written OP protagonists. For our final lightning round what if, we have What If Ash Became a Gym Leader / Elite Four Member. This is a story concept with nearly infinite possibilities, and therefore no easily chartable plot, as so much is dependent on factors such as which region the story is set in, and what type specialty Ash has. Additionally, one would need to decide if this is Ash from canon settling down at a certain point during the anime, or a whole new Ash whose lifelong goal is to become a gym leader or Elite Four member, and so becomes a type specialist accordingly, as this will impact his team. For example, if it is Canon Ash being offered the position of Viridian City Gym Leader by Agatha following their battle, instead of being invited to take on the battle frontier, Ash's options for a type specialty would be rather limited, as he could only be a normal or flying leader, due to those being the only types he has more than one Pokemon of at the time that don't already have a gym or Elite Four member in Kanto. In contrast, if this Ash is, for example, the Son of Clay and wants to one day take over the Driftvale Gym, he would likely start with a ground-type Pokemon such as a Drillbar, and then either start building a strong ground-type team like his dad's, or else go the opposite way, focusing on his eventual Excadrill's other typing to become a steel specialist, or even choose to specialize in types that are strong against his dad, like grass or ice now that the Striaton and Icerus gyms have shut down, leaving those types vacant. This then in turn plays a huge role in how the story is formatted, as if it is a canon Ash, his story will likely focus on settling into his new role as gym leader or elite four member, which will include things like fielding challenges, interacting with his new colleagues, be they returning friends like Brock and Misty or strangers like Phoebe and Sydney, and possibly catching a couple of Pokemon to bolster his roster based on his newly acquired type specialty, or finding another purpose for his old Pokemon outside that type, such as Pikachu, now that he can no longer travel with them or use them in battle as much. With this route, the question then becomes, what is the end goal for Ash now that he is in this role? Does he want to become the strongest among his group and gain the rank of 8th gym leader or 4th elite four member? Does he wish to ascend to the next level of the organization, becoming champion for example? Or is he still looking to become a Pokemon master, and this new path is the way he's decided to reach that goal? Alternatively, if it is a variant Ash, then the position of gym leader or elite four member can serve as an end goal for him once he has completed his journey, likely seeing him undertaking some sort of process to gain the position, such as completing the gym challenge, winning the league, and challenging the Elite Four if he wants one of their spots, or else taking some sort of gym leader certification test that requires him to travel to certain locations and battle specific trainers under differing conditions that test his aptitude to run a gym. With this said, that is about all I can cover on this topic without deciding the aforementioned details. If you'd like to see the two styles in practice, consider checking out my What If Ash Became a Frontier Brain and What If Ash Was Brandon's Son series, as they both tackle the idea of Ash becoming a frontier brain, one at the beginning to set up the premise, and the other at the end as the ultimate goal. And so it is we reach the end of our first What If Lightning Round. If this is something you would like to see continue, please let me know in the comments, as well as suggesting further topics that you think would fit this format. While I have you, please also remember to like the video and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, and I will see you as the journey continues.